Sports Time Radio. All sports, all the time. Monday edition of Sports Time Radio. I'm the Big Jack. With me is Dan the Man. If you'd like to call into the podcast, 646-478-3753 is the number to do that. If not, feel free to email us, sportstimeradio@hotmail.com. Anything else you need, head on over to sportstimeradio.com. Now, you know, the blogs go up on Wednesdays and Saturdays, so look for something popping up over there in a couple days. But as always, you know, check out, swing on over there. You never know what's going on, or just catch up on something you might have missed. While you're at sportstimeradio.com, you want to go ahead and hit that link, get yourself over to the Sports Time Radio Facebook page. If you could like that while you're over there, well, hey, we'd greatly appreciate that. But don't forget, we also have the Twitter feed, which is at Sports Time Radio. Now, Dan and I are on Twitter as well. I am at Burke Time, and Dan the Man is at
Dan the Man with three E's.
Oh, all right. So, humorously, Dan and I, of course, we were talking a little bit here pre-show, and he mentioned that it's very much a slugfest in the Oakland Astro game. I believe there's been four homers hit already, and they're only in the bottom of the fourth. And me being, well, stupid, I was trying to figure out why there were so many home runs being hit in the Oakland Coliseum before Dan mentioned that they were playing at Dodger Stadium. So, yeah, I'm off to a great start with the division series. So there you go. That was our pre-podcast talk. So, yeah. I guess I'm really paying attention, huh, at least to where they're playing?
Yeah, I mean, it is a little confusing, is it not? I mean, you turn on a game and you're used to them being at the home stadium. So, you know, I honestly wasn't even paying attention at first. And then they were focused on the pitcher at the mound. There might have been a mound visit or something after McCullers gave up the home run to lead off the fourth. Was it to lead off the fourth or one out? I guess it's irrelevant. And, you know, they had that shot on him, and I'm staring at it as you and I are talking. And I'm like, holy crap, that's Dodger Stadium. And, you know, it's bad when you can tell what stadium is when all you see is the JAL that's on the scoreboard. I forget what they're advertising, but that's how I knew. But, yeah, I mean, I think it's, you know, it's just one of those things where the stadium almost becomes, when it comes to playoffs, the stadium almost becomes a background, does it not? Where, regardless of where they are, you're like kind of more in tune and focused with who's out, you know, who's up at the plate and who's pitching. And then you really sit back and you're like, oh wow, it's the fourth inning and I just realized that they're in Dodger Stadium.
Well, you know, I was just kind of under the impression that, you know, the A's won the West. They would be the home team in game one, and they are the home team in game one, to be fair. They're just not at home. You know, it's not like I was a complete moron. I just forgot that, you know, they were doing their kind of bubble setup or whatever you want to call it, but you know, while we are here, and we did start talking about it, before the game goes too far and you get too big of an advantage, I need you to pick the winner of that series. Are you going with Oakland or are you going with Houston?
This one's a tough one. I really want to go with Oakland, but something keeps telling me that Houston's going to win. So I'm going with Houston.
Are you sure? My pen didn't want to write. Maybe that means it was a bad choice there. No, there we go. Okay, it started. So, and to be fair, in case you're wondering, Dan split his wild card picks. He was 2-2 in the National League and 2-2 in the American League. He got kind of screwed by the Cardinals, who really should have won that series, but they blew a lead, and then unfortunately his homer picks didn't come through as well. The Cubs were just an embarrassment, and then the White Sox played tough but lost. And the sad part was I think he listened to me with the Indians, and that cost him, because I really thought the Indians and their pitching staff would do well, and I think they gave up about 45 runs in two games to the Yankees. They look kind of like the Cowboys defense. Oh, where's the rim shot when I need it? Damn. But, yeah, so, well, you know, let's just jump in. We got the American League. You know, obviously the American League starts tonight. So our second game features, technically it's the Yankees at the Rays, because the Rays had the better record. So they're the home team. It's Gerrit Cole against Blake Snell. So I guess you couldn't ask for a better pitching matchup. Who do you like here? You got the Yankees or the Rays?
You know, just one, well, either way, I guess 50-50. I counted the Yankees out. I kind of thought they were on their negative slide. I guess there's only one way to slide though, and that's down. I think we're back up on the second part where they're coming back up. So I don't want to overlook them again. I'm going to go with the Yankees.
Yeah, you know, they're it helped. Obviously, they've got everybody healthy and everybody's got enough at bats, and, you know, they're playing really well. So it's just kind of like, this is more or less the team you expected during the year, wasn't it?
Yeah.
So, you know, and then we can, let's knock out the National League, and we can always kind of circle back to what we have going on. Let's start with the, I guess this may be the best matchup of the second round. You got the Padres, again, technically at the Dodgers, even though they're playing in the new stadium in Texas. You got the Dodgers here, or you think the Padres can kind of keep rolling and upset them?
No, I can't count out the Dodgers in this, and especially when I think that negativity surrounding Clayton Kershaw has in the playoffs has been removed, so to speak. So I'm going with the Dodgers. I think the Dodgers had a problem.
Yeah, well, I'm sure we'll jump back in and talk more about that, but we'll wrap it up here. We have the, I guess we can still call them the surprising Marlins, since they're now in the division series, taking on the Atlanta Braves. I don't even know what the hell to say about the Marlins. Can they keep going, or do the Braves kind of end this run here? I mean, I almost want to root for them. which probably will kill them, but what do you think?
Yeah, don't root for them, because I was going to pick them. you said we'll talk about it later, so we'll talk about it later. But, you know, before we kind of go into the series, one of the things that stood out, and for whatever reason it just popped in my mind, one of the announcers made, I don't know if it was an announcer or a former player, that said, you know, the young staff, the young kids, which aside from the Padres, and then, everyone's kind of been dropped out, White Sox especially, I think, the fact that there's no fans there is a definite plus for the new kids, because they don't have to deal with the heckling, so to speak. And, you know, I guess when I thought about it, I didn't really think that could be that big of an issue. And maybe that's just me. And obviously I've never been a baseball player with, 25 to 55,000 people. But, I mean, you can't hear them all at once to begin with. So the bigger of a crowd you have, the less I think you'd hear, as opposed to if you were, sitting in the bullpen at a White Sox or an Oakland, game, where you'd hear everything. But, I guess my question to you, and I don't even know how to, what the point was, and it just bothered me that he said this. In my experience, as a one, it's hard to even judge as a new pro wrestler compared to a more to an older one. You know, I didn't really know who was out there. You know, we went out there to do a job, and we knew we were, you know, cognizant of the fact there's people out there yelling and doing whatever. But if I did hear them, I didn't really hear them. You know, I might have heard them and I react right away, but once that portion is over with, the match is over, the bell rings on the backstage. Yeah, you know, if my partner or maybe you were like, hey, did you hear what songs I said to you? I might have been like, yeah. And then, you know, I would totally forget about it. It's almost as if they're there, but they're not there. And as I ramble along, Big Jack, do you think that makes that big of a difference? You know, having the heckling and all that other stuff going on, whereas to me, I thought the biggest difference would be the fact that there just isn't anyone there, so it's odd to play in that. But I think they would have overcame that by now, coming to the playoffs, the fact that there's no fans. So I don't know where I'm going, but does it really make a difference for veterans, rookies, to be in the playoffs with no fans? Or do you think by now that the no fans in the stands is even an issue?
No, you know, I think it definitely does help a, you know, a younger player or, you know, a rookie in, you know, this case. Because if you, you know, again, like you said, if you think about it, you know, they you know, you can go 0-4 and they don't have to listen to it. You know,
yeah.
It's just, you know, one of those things. It's like, you know, or if you just have a terrible at bat, you know, you don't have, you know, whoever, you know, Joe Smith sitting in the front row or Joe the plumber is what that one government official used to refer to anybody as. But, you know, just one of those things where, you know, you don't have to listen to it. And, it, you know, it's just one less thing to kind of deal with. You know, and, you know, not that it's a huge deal, I'm sure, but as a younger player, you probably hear it a lot more than, like, a veteran who's used to it does. You know, and I also think it helps relax these guys who are, you know, I mean, it's, you know, it's their first playoff experience. And, you know, this makes it a little easier to deal with. I mean, if you think about it, you know, they're not being hounded by the media in the locker room. You know, they can't be bothered by a lot of the normal stuff that would be, or what's considered normal that would be going on right now. I mean, yeah, okay, you know, they have the Zoom calls and however they're going to, you know, handle all the other, you know, fun stuff. But, you know, in reality, I mean, that's easy compared to sitting in a room full of reporters and trying to pick out one voice because, you know, they can, and, you know, on the Zoom call, they can only talk to you one at a time, so they're not talking over each other. And I just think it really – It kind of makes it easier to handle and, you know, not that there's still not pressure or anything like that, but it definitely, you know, kind of eases them into the setting, so to speak. So I think it helps them out. And yeah, by now, you know, they've got to be used to playing with nobody in the stands. You know, if they weren't, I would be more worried about it than anything else. So, but yeah, you know, it makes sense. I know we both kind of rambled there, but I think we got across what we were attempting to say.
Yeah, and I guess I just couldn't see how it played a factor, but, you know, the way you explain it, a lot of that does, you know, and that's something to kind of cross over even to the NFL. You know, locally here, our guy, our hometown guy, Trubisky, I forgot how quick it was, but after there was a point, I don't know if it was just training camp or end of the season, but he cut off social media altogether And another former player had addressed that, saying, you know, he goes, you know, obviously it's after the fact, he was, you know, deleting the social media is one thing. He goes, but, you know, when you walk into work, you walk into your locker room or past so-and-so's office, he goes, the paper's there. The paper's there. It's open. And it's not, you know, it's nothing against you. It's just everyone's reading the sports. And, you know, in the hometown, when you're the hometown quarterback and you're relieved from your position, you're on the front page. So he's like, no one even has to open it. It's there. It's sitting there in your face. And it's something hard for younger people, you know, newer into the game. You know, in the end, and it's something I think you and I understand too. And, you know, people are the tough skin isn't there yet. You know, so you're not used to all that criticism and, you know, the people out there yelling. Granted, I will have to say, I'm sure there's older guys that just are having one of those days, and the wrong person says the wrong thing at the wrong time, and, you know, a lot more is exchanged. But I think the one thing that's what separates baseball, football, and the NBA is that there's been fights with fans and the players in the NBA where it's less likely to happen in Major League Baseball. You know, one thing I wanted to touch on real quick, you did mention the Cubs' total disappointment. You know, obviously because they didn't move on to the next round. It is what it is. This is why I picked the Marlins to go into that second round, or to the CS. And I think they're going to go to the CS. It might be one of those weird years. Dodgers are still going the way. But here's one thing I noticed, and I don't think we've talked about this. You know, haven't seen a whole lot of Cubs games up until a couple weeks ago. But this goes back to last year, too. They threw up a big screenshot of Wrigley Field and how the foul lines have changed now. Because, you know, the Bartman stuff keeps being brought up. You know, obviously, Cubs, Marlins. So I didn't realize, Big Jack, and tell me if you realize this, and you told me, and I just wasn't listening. But the foul line is, like, right on the wall now, where they no longer have that space. So I don't know. I feel like this is a huge advantage to both outfielders, you know, for both teams and for both sides. But did you notice that? I never even paid attention to that, I guess.
You know, I think I first noticed once they took the bullpens out, you know, that they had the way they had kind of extended things the way it was. But, you know, it went away quick, and I stopped thinking about it probably the day after I noticed it, just because I, you know, it's you know, it's foul territory, the outfield, you know, it's kind of random that something ends up down there. So I didn't pay that much attention to it, you know, and now with the netting, you know, that takes a lot of that out of play. So,
yeah,
but
I have a question with that. I know it's been 2 years, and it's something minor, but I think this is a huge kind of benefit towards the – well, I guess it's a benefit. Do you think it's a benefit both ways, or do the hitters get the benefit over the fielder? Because it's only, what, like 4 feet probably that they gain extra ground to cover. But this is – it makes it harder for a foul ball, so it's – kind of like it's a positive for both sides. How do you see it? I think it's really good for hitters. I don't know if it helps out the fielders.
And I think it's just a slight advantage. It may actually benefit the hitters a little more, because there's probably a few balls a year that normally would have been outs that are now foul balls. But I don't think, you know, in a place like Wrigley, I mean, there wasn't a ton of foul ground anyways. So I don't think it makes too much difference. You know, unlike, you know, you saw Oakland with the White Sox series where there's, you know, infinite amount of foul balls or foul ground. So, I think slightly towards the hitter, but not enough to make a gigantic difference. So, but here you go. I found it funny that you happened to brought up the Cubs and their disappointment. Jesse Rogers wrote an article today about Theo Epstein entering his 10th year with the Cubs and possibly considering retirement after next season. I do find it humorous that he can't fix the team the way he used to. And again, Dan is still the only one who has pointed that out, and I had to point that out to Schaumburg Stu last week when he was talking, you know, wanting a rebuild after they lost to the Marlins. I don't know. Do you see him walking away, or will the Ricketts throw enough money at him to keep him around? And, you know, there was some talk the Mets wanted him. You know, could the Mets possibly buy him out, work some kind of deal with the Cubs, or what do you see happening with Theo here?
He's going to go. I mean, it's his forte, I guess you could say. It's what he's done in the past. Things got to be too much, too hot, whatever the case is. He left, and it's time to move on. But, you know, even in this instance, I mean, isn't it kind of that way nowadays, though? You're coming up on 10 years. It's rare that you get, you know, I can't speak for the front office, but, you know, a guy like, well, it seemed like Bobby Cox was there for a really long time. But you don't really get somebody in the office for that long. And I think part of it, too, is when you get labeled as something like Theo is, I mean, obviously being able to bring a championship to the first Red Sox and the Cubs, I'm sure some would say the Mets have a curse, so that's why they want to bring them over. But doesn't it kind of run out to begin with, your steam, I guess you'd say?
Yeah, well, you know, for like me, I kind of wonder, you know, does he still have the, you know, the Wonder Boy tag on him, so to speak, where, you know, he can go in and get a team like the Mets, you know, into the playoffs or World Series contenders. I mean, you know, if I'm a guy looking for a GM job, you know, the Mets aren't a really bad, you know, a really bad gig to have. I mean, they have Jacob DeGrom, and, you know, they'll get a healthy Noah Syndergaard back. So you're going to be looking at two guys at the top of the rotation that are as good as anybody else, you know, in baseball. So it could be interesting, you know, as a kind of a job to take over. I don't know if they'll get Marcus Stroman back, because I believe he's a free agent and he opted out. So the lineup, of course, is, you know, just fantastic. You've got, you know, Pete Alonso, and then Cano, and, you know, Conforto, and Dominic Smith really looked like he came into his own. So there's, you know, they have what you need to kind of work with. I just don't know if Theo is the guy to do this for anybody anymore. You know, his forte is coming in and rebuilding, but again, I'll mention, like Dan pointed out, can't do it like he used to do it. You know, baseball doesn't allow that anymore. You know, you can't let these guys walk away and get number one draft picks. While you do get draft picks, they're further down in the draft. And let's face it, he hasn't had a lot of success further down in the draft. You know, I mean, it's easy to draft the Chris Bryant and the Kyle Schwarbers when you're in the top of the draft. Show me somebody he's found when they're lower in the draft, or when they're lower in the first round, or even, you know, in the second round, has he produced anybody? So, there should definitely be questions if you're a team looking to bring him in. And I can understand him walking away from the Cubs here, Dan, because look at the situation they're in. You know, it's going to be difficult for them to add what they need which is, you know, probably serious bullpen help. And then they'll have to work on the rotation because Quintana and Chatwood are both free agents. So they're, you know, they're in an interesting spot. And, you know, then you throw in the Chris Bryant situation and the stuff I've mentioned a million times with Baez and Contreras and Schwarber all coming, you know, all coming to the end of their arbitration relatively close to the same time. What the hell is going to happen here, Dan? You can't keep all these guys, and I don't think Theo wants to be here when that all comes up.
No, and I can see that being a thing because, you know, it was text messages from players, not naming anybody, that kind of got things hot in Boston, and he walked away. He quit. They ended up bringing him back, but then – you know, obviously we know what happened. He came to the Cubs. So, like you said, if you go with that theory, I think it's retirement, like Rogers had suggested, because then that way, you know, like you said, you get to avoid all the negative publicity. And if you want to, to save face, I guess is what maybe we're both getting at. Isn't it best for him to now retire or find a way to get to the Mets so he doesn't have to face that scrutiny of, like you mentioned, when pretty much half the nine guys are all up for free agency in a matter of two seasons, and you're not going to be able to sign all those guys back, like you said. So to avoid it all, don't you get out of town before that so you're not the one who has to make these decisions?
Yeah, well, you know, I mean, you wonder, you know, like what I was really shocked by is how little blame he got this year for the embarrassment that the bullpen was. You know, I mean, he was the guy who gave Craig Kimbrel, he was the only guy who caved in and gave Craig Kimbrel what he wanted. Now, last year, okay, I'll cut Kimbrel a little slack because, you know, he wasn't really ready to pitch. This year, I can't do it, and you can't have a closer with a 5.28 ERA. You know, I mean, that's just the bottom line. And, yeah, they got lucky. Jeremy Jeffress stepped up and pitched well. But you can't expect that out of him, and I believe he's only signed for this year. As well as he pitched, he may have priced himself out of the Cubs' bullpen, you know, because you know we're going to hear the excuse about them wanting to stay under the luxury tax, and that's going to equal, you know, not being able to keep guys. So, and, you know, we still haven't heard, you know, the Chris Bryant situation is going to be something. As soon as the playoffs are over, it's going to be something that's going to be talked about probably every day here locally. If they're not talking about it now, I don't, like I said, being bear season, football season, they'll probably let it slide. But, you know, there's going to have to be decisions made because if you hang on to him, his value continues to go down the longer you hang on to him. So, do they move him before next season? Do they go into the season with him? And, of course, then that weighs on everybody. When's he going to go? When are they going to pull the trigger? All that stuff. Because he hasn't played – he's not a $300 million player with the way he's played the last 2 years. I don't care what Scott Boras says. You know, you look at the performance on the field and, okay, he's had some injuries, but he's still been disappointing. You know, you add in the fact that this year he hit a whopping 206. So, you know, and you can't tell me on, well, you know, he could have got hot over those last 100 games and pumped it up. Yeah, I don't care. He didn't have 100 games to do it. He hit 206. So, there's big question marks with this team. And again, a disappointing team that we only got one World Series out of.
Mm-hmm.
So, who knows what they, you know, what they end up doing or how they end up doing it. But I kind of have the feeling that when it comes down to it, Theo's not going to be the guy here to do it. And he's going to dump it on somebody else. And I don't think it'll be Jed Hoyer. You know, I think Jed will probably go with him, but he's going to dump it on somebody else and, you know, let them deal with his aftermath.
Yeah, it is what it is. And, you know, the funny part is that person most likely will not put any blame on him. You know, if you've noticed that,
No. You
know, being a GM, being in the office, for any of the teams, you're in a club, and these guys don't really come out and talk about each other. So,
yeah. You know, I had to look, because I thought mine was the second pick, 2013. Do you remember, I'm guessing you don't, do you remember by any chance who went ahead of him?
No, I don't.
Yeah, I remember the name the minute I saw it. It was the Astros had the first pick, and they picked Mark Appel, who was a can't-miss right-handed pitcher out of Stanford, who basically constantly got hurt. And I don't know if he ever made – he may have made – it may have popped up in one major league game or something, but he didn't do much. I know he ended up on the Phillies after a deal, but he never ended up being anything close. Again, another high profile pitcher in a baseball draft that didn't turn into anything. So but yeah, just kind of you know, I just thought of that for some reason when I was looking at Brian's stats, and I was like, oh, because I always keep thinking he was the number one pick, and I'm like, oh, no, that's right, he was number two, and it's like, well, wait, who went ahead of him? So, but yeah, just another kind of one of those situations where, you know, now you know why you don't take pitchers that early in drafts, because they seem to rarely work out.
Yeah, I mean, that's not something you could totally count on, but, you know, a lot of times when you look at a pitcher, and you know, and that's the biggest difference, I think, with Major League Baseball and the other leagues is when it comes to the draft, is you know, not all your star players, and I think that's what annoys me, I guess, when you're discussing, with all the hype around the draft, especially for baseball, is the guys who turn out to be long-term or even superstars are rarely guys that are in the top 10, you know, the first round. You know, you see ace star pitchers that are coming in third, fourth, fifth. So it's just, that's why it's just so hard. Like, yeah, you want to get excited, but, you know, I mean, you don't see a draft pick for 4 or 5 years. And then, you know, after that, it may be like 2 or 3 years before he becomes what you're expecting, you know. So, sorry, Randall.
But, well, you know, and kind of getting back to more of what's actually, you know, going on, what's your excitement level going into the playoffs? I mean, obviously, it's a little diminished because, again, the Cubs got knocked out rather easily, and we lost, you know, even though you're not you're not a White Sox fan, but you're not a White Sox hater, you know, you don't even have the White Sox for now because they got knocked out as well. So where's your kind of level of excitement? And, I mean, are you looking at one team or maybe a couple teams that you really want to see how they do, or – where, you know, where are you at kind of on that level?
I'm going to be the jerk that nobody likes I still right now. I wouldn't, for the sake of the game and, you know, the season that they have, you know, you pull it all together. I'm kind of going for a Yankees-Dodgers World Series. You know, for the Dodgers, it would just kind of – for both teams, if either one of these teams won, I think it adds a little bit back to that World Series championship, because you're – when you look at both the Dodgers and the Yankees, you're not just thinking about this season. You're thinking about the last three seasons and how much more this World Series would mean for these two teams. And I'm not saying it takes anything, you know, it's not going to mean anything for the other teams, but with what's going on in the last couple of years and what we've found out over the last year, this actually makes it a little bit more, it gives you a little bit more excitement for these two teams. And it's just kind of odd how it worked out being the Yankees and the Dodgers. I mean, we could be talking A's and Padres for all I care, but you know they weren't the two teams that were repeatedly knocked out of the playoffs, unfortunately by cheaters. So I'm a little bit more invested in them, but you know right now I think it's just I'll be into it, but I always get really excited for that first week of the playoffs and then. We get the division series, and I might not watch as much because, like you said, you know, both the Chicago teams are out of it, and I want to get to the ALCS. So whatever you can do to get to the ALCS, that's when I'll, you know, really get focused and involved with it again. Right now, I'm just a little excited. The Heat won one, so I hope it's not the only one.
Well, you were right. You said they would win one game, and they won their one game. Yeah. So now we can end the NBA season, but. Yeah, well, you know, of course, you know, my issues with baseball really don't start till the World Series, you know, because, like, I love these early games. These things are fantastic for me. But then the World Series gets here and the game started 8:30 and I can't watch them.
Yeah.
So, you know, but, yeah, and again, you know, I mean, it would be funny to see like the Marlins get there in this time, this type of season. But you know, I don't think that's going to happen. I also hope we don't have a gigantic lapse of time between, you know, the DS, the CS and the World Series, because what baseball stupidly did, and I don't even think they realized they were doing this. They gave people a couple days to forget that they were around. And with so much going on in the sporting world, you can't do that. You know, I mean, you already lost interest in the four teams that were eliminated. You know, there was it four or eight or how many ever teams we got eliminated? I think it was eight teams that got eliminated. So you've already lost that fan base. You know, you'll keep a few of those fans around. Like, you know, Dan and I are still dumb enough to be fans of the game, and we watch even when the local teams aren't here because we like baseball. But not everybody is like us. You know, like I guarantee you, Schaumburg Stu isn't watching any of the A's Astros game. You know, it's just, you know, he'll probably watch some of the National League because that's more style. But he's not watching, you know, the game on right now. And there's going to be a lot of people like that. And, again, we're in that short attention span society where you can't give people this opportunity. And I get it. You don't want to go up against football on Sundays because they're the big bad, you know, the big bad wolf, and they beat everybody down. But you're starting on a Monday, and you're going to go against Monday night football. So what was the difference in a day? You know, that and the fact that I believe everybody is used to baseball on Sunday. You know, you get Sunday afternoon baseball. That's what we get. You know, get yourself out there. But, no, you know, we had like Friday, Saturday, and Sunday with no baseball. And you allowed the Mickey Mouse Network to focus on football because that's who they have a contract with. So they talk football and basketball. And they throw baseball to the wayside, and now not everybody watches the Mickey Mouse Network, but they are the number one sports station, you know, sports television station in the world. So there's obviously people watching them going, oh, well, football's on, or I'm going to watch Jimmy Butler get a triple-double. Oh, wait, baseball season on? What happened? When did that start? So it was really stupid of them to do the scheduling like this. And I think, unfortunately, it's going to cost them, and that's too bad because, you know, you could capitalize on some excitement here, especially the, you know, the villain Astros, the heel Astros team, Dan, trying to, you know, work their way back and do it the right way. So, but yeah, you know, or the upset Marlins in the other league that aren't supposed to be here and, you know, probably would have lost 90 games had we played 162-game season. But, you know, here they are in the second round, and, you know, unfortunately, they did a poor job of marketing it. So, you know, I mean, no, you know, nobody where I work is talking about it. I mean, are any of your relatives interested since you're not going into the office, or how's it work with you?
I have no idea. I'm socially awkward, so. You know, like you said, I think they were a day off. You know, I think, you know, running it out on Sunday, you got to remember, Big Jack, I think with Monday Night Football, you have a better shot. You know, and that's because you got the back and forth. Well, this Monday night is different, obviously. But,
yeah,
you know, we're
the Patriots
on Sunday. Yeah. So, I mean, but, you know, on a regular Monday, you've got the back and forth, you know, and I know you would do that. I know you would also do this on Sundays, too. But when it comes to Sunday, it's football Sunday. And if anyone's flipping back and forth, except for me, it's between the football games. You're like, ah, I got my football squares. And I think that's where all the attention gets taken off, is because everyone's going to focus on Sunday on football. You know, whether it's, you know, people just getting together because it's Sunday and they're not wearing a mask or whatever. You know, like I said, having football squares. There's not a whole lot for baseball, you know, as far as extracurricular activities go. And so I will say they did miss out by not having anything scheduled for Saturday, definitely.
Yeah, so... you know, just one of those things. But here you go, Dan. I found this humorous. I ran into an article by this guy's name, Alden Gonzalez. It's on the Mickey Mouse website, and he has three things the Angels must do to finally build a winner for Mike Trout. Now, this is something you and I have talked about regularly. The very first thing he posts, and this makes literally no sense at all, invest outside the roster. Now, the Angels have done this. They also have a payroll of $170 million, not only heading into next year, but probably for the next 4 or 5 years. So they have invested outside the roster. You want to tell me what this guy's talking about here, Dan, because I am lost. And I read the paragraph, and he doesn't even really explain it.
Maybe he's referring to staff.
You mean Joe Maddon?
No, it could be a possibility, but if you remember, and, you know, I guess it's one of the small things we haven't really even looked at. What other changes happened in Anaheim, you know, aside from Joe Maddon? If you remember.
Yeah, they can't have a general manager after this season, so maybe Theo's going there to work with Joe again.
So, you know, without an explanation, that's the only thing I could think of is he's talking about staff, you know, like you said, the GM possibly, but other guys around, you know, around the field. Is that always the issue? I don't know, because I think with the Cubs, they've had new hitting, batting, pitching, everything, coaches over the last 5 years. And,
you know,
maybe something to be said, like with the White Sox having the same guy.
He does mentioned, you know, that they need to hire the right GM. But in reality, that's just stupid, because doesn't every team need to hire the right GM?
Yeah.
Right.
Who is the right GM?
You know, that's the first part. Now, here's the other one. That his other one is maximize Shohei Ohtani's value. Well, Dan, that's a fantastic idea if the damn guy could stay healthy, isn't he?
Yes, it is, but it's in this. Also, you know, and I guess when you make bullet points, it's really easy. Maybe you should just start doing extra blogs and then you get some more reactions where you just make a statement, you know, clarify. But maximizing his value, to me, says without him having the ball, say it. Get off the dual player. It's never going to happen. It's not going to work. Now, let's figure it out. And I think that's, honestly, well, that's, I just said it. He didn't say it. So obviously you know how I feel. I'm over it.
Yeah.
I don't think he's going to be a dual player. You got to pick one. It's this experience.
Yeah, you know, I mean, again, you know, what? Who knows what a healthy Shohei Ohtani gives to the team, but will he ever be healthy enough to do that? You know, I mean, to me, this doesn't seem like this is something that it's the Angels' fault. You know, this seems to me more like a guy who just can't stay healthy, or at least early in his career has proven that he can't stay healthy. So
yeah.
I don't understand how, you know, okay, yes, it fixes the Angels, but there's a big if on will he be healthy and what he can give them. So, but
yeah, you
got to
wonder.
Oh, no, go ahead.
Okay, you got to wonder, and you obviously you can't compare them at all, really. They're two different people and circumstances. But you wonder if he's kind of following along with what Yu Darvish did, where he was really great and then was injured for like 3 or 4 years. You know.
Yeah, and then, you know, his only point that really makes sense is his third one. It says, get pitching, then more pitching, and then a little more. Because, you know, you and I have harped on this for 3, 4, 5, probably since we started the podcast, that the Angels' biggest weakness has been their pitching. You know, and they've made some cool pitching investments. You know, they paid C.J. Watson to come in, and he just didn't work out. You know, like the bullpen was just a fiasco this year. But, you know, I mean, I flat out told you going into the season with Hansel Robles as your closer was going to be an issue, and it was an issue. You know, you and I both agreed on it. I don't even think you knew who he was. Or that he was closing. So, you know, it's just like, you know, this is one of those things I 100% agree with. And, like, your guy Dylan Bundy was huge for them. And I don't know if he's a free agent, but if he is, they need to find a way to bring him back. And they need to be either big-time trade partners trying to get some pitching, or they have to find – some quality free agent pitching. You know, and again, I mean, I don't know what's out there. You know, I mean, maybe they could add like a Jose Quintana as their number four. You know, he's worked with Madden. He's had a little success with Joe Madden. You know, so maybe somebody, you know, somebody like that could be an add. But, it's definitely someplace they have to go and something they have to look at. But I think, you know, again, this is something you and I talked about for how long? 20 years?
I think it's been consistently a topic for them over the last decade that they've been pushing the Angels to be the next World Series, you know, champions. They were obviously close in 2014 to be swept out by the Wild Card Royals. Sorry, it took me a second to think about that one. But, you know, ever since then, they just they'll have pieces. And, you know, like last year was very unfortunate. And I guess charges are being brought up against the guy who provided him the pills. But, you know, even I don't know where you'd put him if he was still on this team. You know, on the other side of it, like we said, over the last two seasons, they've got guys who, you know, from what everyone's seen, has the potential, but then they need to play the game instead of being hurt, which, you know, you can't be like, hey, play the game, you're not hurt. Oh, yeah, I'm not, I'm fine. So, you know, they just haven't had luck with it. And I think it's hard enough to try to build the rest of the pitching staff when you're having so much trouble keeping your starting rotation together that they just kind of roll with whatever they can do in the bullpen.
Yeah, and, you know, there aren't a ton of huge names out there. You know, Marcus Stroman, I mentioned, we were talking about the Mets. You know, Masahiro Tanaka does hit the market. I don't know if the Yankees would let him get away. You know, if you have a big belief in your pitching coach, you might be able to add a guy like Robbie Ray, who's just 29. But, you know, you would need a guy that could work with his control issues. You know, Mike Minor will hit the market. I guess there's a chance. Corey Kluber has a buyout. You know, as banged up as he's been, though, I don't know if he would be the guy. And then, of course, the huge name, the biggest name out there is Trevor Bauer. But you got to kind of wonder what he'll command. And apparently, Dan, I didn't see it or read it, but I heard he apparently is shooting tweets at the Red Sox. So it looks like he may have kind of targeted his own team. You know, as everybody knows, if you follow Bauer anywhere, he's a gigantic social media guy. So I don't know, you know, how much of a player anybody else could be if he's kind of picked a designated landing spot already. Oh, and your guy Jake Odorizzi is a free agent. He could be a real nice add at, like, the back of the rotation for the right price. So, but, yeah, you know, so right now, you know, not a lot of huge names out there, with the exception of Bauer. You know, there are some, you know, some quality guys, though. So, you know, maybe they could add one or maybe two, you know, back-end guys and just kind of hope Dylan Bundy keeps rolling. So, yeah, you know, but, yeah, I thought that was kind of humorous when I saw it. It was like, okay, well, you know, Dan and I could have written this article, you know, 7 years ago.
Well, and,
you know, and I still
want
to know
and
what left outside the roster means. Somebody needs to tell me. So,
yeah, I still think it's office stuff. But, you know, and I mean, it's super easy. Like, the one thing, oh, they need to invest in pitching. Because, I mean, that's, you could pretty much say that for every team. But, you know, like you said, we brought this up so many times. I mean, they've tried everything. You know, they even tried bringing Timmy back. And, you know, I think he had, like, a couple good innings.
Yeah. Oh, you know, God, I've been stumbling around here. Dan, we actually have a caller, so let me see if I can bring them in. Yeah, this goes. Caller, are you there?
Totally here, man. I was listening and waiting patiently.
Yeah, sorry, I was. We don't have an intern or anything, so I was doing all my own surfing there. I'm sorry, I didn't get your name. What's going on?
My name's Micah, calling from Little River, South Carolina. A first-time listener for quite a period now, but actually, you caught my attention with your Halloween costume thing. But as I chimed in and started listening, I was like, "Whoa, wait a second! Do I know these guys?"
So, well, you know, I did, you know, that was just kind of a title I threw up there, but did you get a Halloween costume?
Well, actually, I was going to give a Generation X put in your back pocket, get ready for, takes less than 10 minutes costume idea to the public.
Sure. Let's do it. You know, because I don't have any ideas. So what do you got?
All right. Now, when I say Generation X, hey, I love us all, but we all know, except for me, other people are starting to get in some sagging areas to the face. Well, on Halloween, this works great. Because a simple, now, Dollar General local, I got a little $3 pack with liquid latex and a little blood gel and a fake scar and a brush to do both items. Well, here's what you do. And the reason I say older people, because whenever you can press, find an area of your face, you can press together and then move your face muscles. And if it doesn't move that much, hey, yes, we're all getting old. But liquid latex, that entire area, pinch it together and it'll stick and look like a natural scar. Take that little blood dabber and take some of the blood and put in it. And honestly, I've put one together with three scars on my face in less than 8-9 minutes. Now, I was bucking for the time, but I would think one or two scars easily in a 10-minute period for the average person. But the more your face can, stretch into the area where the latex sticks to it, the better it is. And on a Nerd Generation X note, I'm a big follower of liquid latex for the fact that I read my weekly World Reader in second grade back in the Carter administration, turning to the Reagan administration. I remember that as an assimilation. But one thing that I remember clearly is our weekly World Reader. We got every Friday, if we were good, to read for the last 3 minutes. And it also had a thing to promote Jacques Cousteau because he was big on TV back then. All right, the big thing was Kevin Yeager. Now, the name's going to ring bells in Generation X big time because of Tales from the Crypt. That was pretty much the orgasm of, sorry, I shouldn't use that word. That was the climax of his career, was working on Tales from the Crypt. But he created liquid latex along with several other people. And one of the first movies it was used in, to the extent of, hey, we got this new stuff, was Sam Raimi's Evil Dead. Now, emphasizing, the reason I went total nerd on that is because if I say I'm going to speak for something I know of Generation X, I have a standard to hold to. I think I covered all the aspects in that. I made everyone happy. But, gentlemen, I appreciate the time you've given me on that. But a little thing, and honestly, that's something I discovered on my own. But go ahead, sir. Sorry.
I hate to cut you off, but we're running out of time here, so we got to let you go. But thanks for calling in. We really appreciate it.
Hey, thank you much, and you guys have a great evening.
All right, you too. So, well, there you go, Dan. You got some Halloween advice. Now you can get made up to go around your neighborhood with your daughter.
If they let us, right?
There you go. You get all kinds of advice here. You get sports talk and Halloween advice. I never thought to do that. But, yeah, I just happened to title the show today, Dan, Did You Get a Halloween Costume? Just because, obviously, you know, where we are and what's coming up. So, you know, hey, I, you know, appreciate the call. And, you know, again, nice, easy Halloween costume for you if you're interested in checking that out. So definitely. So that works out nicely, Dan. And it will go away. The problem is you can take it off. Now, you know, this is not going to be your mall. So let me just have a few questions. Click on the screen. I don't know if it will be here or whether it will be here. Let's go see what's going on. And while we're on this social media account, we're sure you've got popping up there on Wednesday. The link to the Facebook page, where, of course, you can see. The Twitter feed is on Sports Time Radio. Plus, Dan and I will also want to make a difference. We're not going to be so cool with that. And, you know, thank you all. Well, if you stop by and listen live or call in, we really appreciate it. Thank you for being a call. Look at your next time. Head over to tuning.com. You can check us out whenever you want.
radio.com.